And also, again, I'm going to always encourage you to call in on 0861 24 24 36. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Nikki.
Hope you're well.
I am.
I'm glad to hear
it. That is a gorgeous red.
Thank you so much.
Stunning.
Well, thank you. Thanks, darling.
Hey, Mr. T.
So, Bev, okay, so we're going to go straight into it because we've got a mess of SMSs.
Great.
And I have a female who has SMSed, and she was born on the 13th of the 3rd, 1966. And she asks the question, what's going on? I can't get ahead.
Okay.
Kind of like I can only imagine kind of that treadmill scenario, possibly when you're going and going and going, but you're just not moving forward.
Okay. Fantastic. Yes, absolutely. Female, 13th of
March, 1966.
Got it. 12 and 1 is 13. Yeah. Okay, so I can tell you exactly what might hold this kind of person back.
Mm-hmm.
Form 4 is 8. Form 4 is not 12, right? Form 4 is 8.
And?
3 is 11.
Yes, 8, got 9, it. 10, 11. I'm using my fingers. I've only got 10 fingers.
It's all right.
Don't give me too much.
I have 10 toes, thank God. I have all of them. So
I've never learned how to count with my toes.
Haven't you?
No.
Just going to rip your boots off.
It's not just tapping
your
toes.
On the table.
So that's what I've been doing wrong.
Generally, then you'll have a look down and go, oh my goodness, those need painting. Okay, so. All right. You know what I thought on the way over here, flying at the speed of sound? Mm-hmm. I thought it would be actually fantastic to take South Africa's birth date, the day that South Africa became a nation, then the day that it was freed from being an oppressed nation, and see the difference in the energetic numbers and the power of the nation. And,
fabulous.
And what has to change? You know, what is the holding back the nation's energy? And what happened on the day that Mandela was released, that date? And, you know, there's all these different dates that are governing the energy of our country.
I think that's brilliant. I think we should dedicate
And it's very concerning, everything you were talking about before. Obviously, it's very concerning. And it kind of looks like Africa's tending to Africa. Mm. And if we look up the continent, we don't see any real success stories of post-colonization, liberation and success without corruption, you know. So it is perturbing, particularly for us of fairer pale. Look at it and go, are we welcome here, really? I mean, is it? But it's such a beautiful country and such a beautiful continent.
And we such beautiful people.
Yeah, Beth. And I look around and I say, you know, I'm African. Don't be saying I don't belong here. I'm African. I was born African. I'm a second generation African. I might have Jewish roots. I might have Lithuanian, British, Russian roots, but I am African. And I don't want to be pushed out of here because you don't like the color of my skin. So it's an interesting reverse energy that we're having, and I'd be interested to see the date. Mr. T, you're it. You find that date. I don't know what date it is that we're looking for. Is it the inauguration? Is it what? Is it the date that Mandela got released? I don't think so. Is it the day he became president? When did we redesign our constitution? Is it that day? It's just so many different options to look at it. But something somewhere is weighting us down into the absolutely typical quintessential example of Africa. And that's such a pity because it's such a magnificent place. All right, so moving on. I'll tell you why you can't get ahead in life. Not you, lady, who won't give us more details. Not anyone particular. Everyone. Everyone is held back by unresolved emotion. Remember, I've said this before. You cannot outrun unresolved emotion. If you're upset with someone, and if you are hurt by your childhood, and if you have disappointments and hurts that you have not resolved, and I have to say that no matter what you do, you will have this weight in your backpack that holds you back, that doesn't allow you to liberate yourself, that doesn't allow you to forge your way forward. You have to clear it. You have to clear it out. You have to be unafraid to clear it out. So I don't know if any of you watch The Amazing Race or not, but I love those kind of life situation, interactive television programs, whatever you call them, reality TV shows, right? Like Survivor, like that, because it's so fascinating to watch the real dynamics of people going on under unbelievable stress. You think you'd be better? You think you'd be different? Really? So in this particular week, obviously, I couldn't see it because it was Holy Day or something. I can't remember why I missed it. Anyway, recorded it and watched it. And it's so interesting for me. Oh, I know why. I was at the airport. My little boy Key has gone on his first overseas trip on his own.
No.
Yeah. Kudos to Virgin Unaccompanied, They are unbelievable.
You
they're not paying me to advertise.
Your little boy key.
I did.
And you're not sitting here crying. And
I've been doing so much of that, but you know, it's just not appropriate in this half an hour. But it's
this is what a Jewish mother looks like, Tabi, who's in a state of regret right now.
Yeah, exactly, for 17 days. But he is so unbelievably brave. And I'm saying this, I'm bringing this in, partly because he's listening right now in a playground in London somewhere. So hello, my sweetheart. We'll speak a bit later. I'm so incredibly proud of him. But here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing about what he's achieved. And I'm saying this to you, lady of the 13th of March as well, and everyone else who feels held back in life. You cannot outwin your unresolved emotion. You cannot outrun the things you believe about yourself. You cannot outrun the stories they tell you that you believe about yourself. You have to believe you are capable of doing something. Will you have no fear? No, you will have fear. Believe me when I tell you, just before he was being taken through to go through passport control, he looked at me and said, I'm afraid. And I said, I understand that. And you're so brave anyway. I'm a bit scared. I said, I understand that. But you're so brave. Living life to your fullest potential is not about not feeling fear. It's about feeling fear and doing it anyway. It is about recognizing, like on the show on The Amazing Race on Monday night, the one team got not voted out, they got eliminated from the race. Why? Because it was a girlfriend-boyfriend team, and she was terrified of heights and water more, I think, more the water. And to get to the last clue to say where they had to go check in, they had to go down, and I think they're somewhere in Malaysia, I'm not sure where, but they had to go down this, looked like a five-story water slide that goes underneath a shark pool, obviously not through it, underneath a shark pool, and comes out in this water pool, right? Mm. And she was so terrified that teams just passed them. She couldn't do it. And in the end, she walked down the stairs, and they bowed out the race. And
sure.
And I thought to myself, what a remarkable honesty she had. Firstly, I've taught my son all the time that it's okay to be scared of these rides at the parks. It's okay. They're designed to make you a little fearful. They're designed to make you feel that intensity, right? But they're designed to thrill you, not to kill you. So they're not likely to kill you. The people who get injured on those rides must be less than 0.25% globally, if less. Her belief was that I'm not going to survive this. And that's why she wouldn't do it. That's why she wouldn't go down. I'm not going to survive this. And so she wouldn't go down. Not, I'm terrified, but this is not designed to kill me. I will get to the other end. It will be the most thrilling experience and I will be bigger for it. She beat herself into submission, believing she wouldn't survive it. And I want to take that analogy and take it to my son, and then I'm going to bring it back to this lady and everyone else. There are certain things my son has believed about himself and about his fears that he has had to overcome to be able to do this trip. When he was born, I wanted him before his bar mitzvah to have a significant experience that would set a grandstand for him, a solid platform upon which he could go into his adulthood, a success story. Because I think the people who don't have a success story have very little to fall back on. They're constantly striving for that success story. But to go into your adulthood, to merge into the responsibility as a young Jewish man and into his adulthood with a success story like climbing Kilimanjaro, for example, which I was hoping he and I would do together in the year of his bar mitzvah, which would be next year, hopefully, would be such an unbelievable platform. But the truth is, a young person like that is not ideal to take up that mountain. But I have been hoping to find that. Now, anything like that in life, and I'm speaking to everyone, takes preparation, it takes motivation, it takes persistence, perseverance, and it will take the overcoming of fear. And he looked at this opportunity because we love to see his cousins and my brother and his wife, try and see them every year. It's not always possible. And we weren't going to see them this year, so they wanted to bring him over, right? So that at least they could have contact, which is such a lovely opportunity. But he had a lot of things to overcome, and I'm not going to run all through them, but maybe just one of them, one of those things was sleeping out, and he had to work through that. But he challenged himself. He looked that fear in the face and he made a plan, and he thought that if he could start off earlier in the year and he could get used to the idea, he'd be okay. It didn't work so well in the beginning, but he got through it. He set a plan. What will I have to be okay with to be able to manage this process? And he set that plan, and together we've worked through it. And he went on, and we spoke about it before, he went and did a pony camp on his own when he doesn't like to be around people he doesn't know, and he realized he can thrive, and he's a lovely kid, and he got along with people. He was okay. He was bigger for the experience. And so every challenge he's put himself through this year, he has become bigger and better for the experience, so that when it came to this, he was ready. He could help me pack his bag. He could get everything ready with me. He could listen to me. He could take him when I was saying, and he wouldn't. And he knew from the moment he left me till the moment he was going to be put into my brother's arms, he was going to be cared for and taken care of, but by complete and utter strangers, bound only to him by a signed piece of paper and the integrity of an airline. Mm. Now, that is a huge leap, never mind for a Jewish mother, for any mother. Mm. It is a huge leap. And for a young 12-year-old young boy, he's not a man child yet, he's a boy child. For a young boy becoming a man, that is a huge Kilimanjaro. And I am so proud of him because he has his success story. Mm. He has set himself apart. He has done the work. You do the work, you have the prize. Now, for this lady, coming back to her now, I'm saying the same thing. You are held back by so many beliefs and unrealistic expectations and unfair prejudices you put on yourself, on the world, on your pain, on your disappointments, that it is going to be so hard for you to step forward into the light, because you don't voice your fears. You keep them to yourself. You don't voice your disappointments. You're keeping them to yourself. And then you behave with insensitivity to other people because you feel they've hurt you and you've been victimized. Now, I know she's sitting there going, what? What? No. Everyone does this who does not know how to communicate their fears. I was so proud of him on Monday night because he could look at me and say to me, I'm scared. Mm. Yes, talk about it. Because you can't outrun unresolved emotion. And emotion that remains stuck inside of you is unresolved emotion. And it's creative energy, and it will create havoc inside of you. Mm. And that's where illness comes from, and dis-ease, and different kinds of cancers, and etc. None of us should ever suffer those things, and know anyone who suffers those things. And we only at this time are completely praying for everyone's recovery and our country's recovery. We so much want this country to thrive, don't we? Mm-hmm. But we see so much unresolved emotion holding back this country as well. What's going on? I don't feel like I have enough. You have too much. There's a dichotomy between the way I earn and you earn. I hate you because you earn more. I'll break your thing down. I'll throw rocks onto the highway. I'll do anything it takes to get my way because I'm stamping my feet like a child who does not know how to communicate. That's what's going on here. You cannot outrun the things you're not willing to talk about. I'm going to say that again because this is your tweet of the day. Mm-hmm. I know you. I can see you nodding. I see your fingers going to the keyboard. I say it again. You cannot outrun your unresolved emotion, and you cannot outrun the things that you're not willing to talk about. And why are we not willing to talk about them? Because we don't like that woman at the top of that slide. We don't believe we will survive the outcome. And if we don't believe we will survive the outcome, we will stop ourselves from speaking. We will stop ourselves from saying, I'm scared of this. I'm scared to try. I'm disappointed you did that. I'm hurt that that happened. I wish it would have been different. I want to cry now. We will stop ourselves from releasing the fear and the emotion, the thought, and we will keep ourselves embedded in this painful place in which we feel locked and we feel limited and we can't reach our full potential. It's not possible to reach up into the skies and reach for the stars that you dream of holding on to or swinging from if you are rooted in the depth of your disappointments and your hurts that you think you will not survive if you speak about.
Wow. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back with more. Let's just have a look after the break. You've got the next date, Bev. What date is that?
Gentlemen, on the 19th of June, 1962.
Fantastic.
This is 101.9
High FM.
Welcome back. 7 minutes to 10 o'clock. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malun in the studio. And we are looking at a birthday. We're looking at profiling your birth date. So, Bev, you've got one there. Just read it out.
The 19th of June, 1962.
A gentleman. Go for it.
Okay, we do it. We do it. So here's a man who loves perfection, who loves things on his terms, to look good, to flow. He's a generous-spirited man. He's an affectionate man. He likes to take care of people. He likes to do lots of things. Outspoken, quick off the mark, perhaps not as tempered as he should be when he was younger. Perhaps now that he's getting into pre-middle age. In fact, he's young, isn't he? No, he's just hit middle age. He's 50. Well done.
Young,
well done.
Young.
Just hit halfway there. So, well, halfway to 100 anyway. This, this rate, they say the oldest person to ever have lived in modern times is already born. So that person has to outstretch 127 years.
Is 127 the oldest?
Well, that's in the Guinness Book of Records, but I think that was Chuck Norris before, you know, already. It's a prediction.
The reincarnation of, okay.
It's a prediction. They say, like, in the Guinness Book of Records, my brother, my son loves these Chuck Norris things. In the Guinness Book of Records, every single thing is actually held by Chuck Norris.
Yeah, well, I would believe
the Book
that.
Of Records is just the second best. So the 19th of June, 1962, we have this gentleman who needs to learn when to speak and when to think. So he has an unbelievable eye, though, you see, and it's a problem for people who are so brilliant and forensic and quick off the mark and right. They're right, and they know they're right, and they're solid instruction. They have systems and ways that things should be, and you can rely on them, and they're dependable. They don't always understand why people won't depend on what they think, what they say all the time. So because it hurts, that's why, gentlemen of the 19th of June, 1962, because what you say hurts. Just because I'm right doesn't mean I win in life by sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tweet that? Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. Just because I'm right.
I'm tweeting more.
I know, I can see your eyes twinkling. You have this tweet twinkle. Do you know that? And I look across and I see this little tweet twinkle happening. I think, okay, here she goes.
Here she goes.
Let me say that again slowly.
Just because I'm right.
Just because I'm right,
yeah,
does not mean I win in life by sharing it.
Okay.
Everybody wants a grandstand. Everybody wants the kudos and the...
Hang on. But didn't you just say that if you're feeling disappointed, if you're feeling scared...
Hold on, we're talking about criticism now. Yes, okay. Yes. If you're feeling hurt and disappointed and fearful and all the emotions that pull you down into the sad place, Talk about your feelings.
Okay.
Feelings.
But making statements like this...
This is your
mind.
Okay. This is not
commenting
your feelings.
Commenting on life, on people, on things, be careful what comes out of your mouth.
Careful what comes out of your mouth. Because believe it or not, people do not live up to your criticism of them. Criticism is a negative energy and it pulls things down.
Okay.
So if you have somebody who comes to assess this building, they're not going to walk around and go, oh, this is lovely. Look at you, building. You're standing up so well to the rain, to the sleet, to everything. You go, you good building. No. People are going to come here and a building assessor is going to come and say, yeah, there's a fault, there's a fault, there's a fault, there's a fault. That's cracking. That's not going to last. This is going to be damp rising, etc. I mean, what I know from buildings. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we naturally do to each other. I do it also. I don't even mean to. I have those things go on in my head. I'm like, shh, silence, back in your corner. You know, it happens all the time. It's the self-management of that little voice box that airs those views that we need to work on. Now, for this gentleman who has such an unbelievable assessment tool, forensically, the way he sees the world, he sees right to the bottom line. He's the kind of person who just goes, oh, I see what you're thinking. Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, I see beneath that, etc. He can see it. Okay, well, you know, bully for you. So that's great. How's it working for you? It's my favorite line. You know it is. Oh, that's great. How's it working for you? So you run at the wall every day and smash your forehead? Well, great. How's it working for you? Because if it's not working for you, if you're and people say, well, how do I know if it's working for me? Okay, well, let's look around. Are your relationships thriving? Do you have people flocking to connect with you? Do you have people who respect you and trust you that you feel safe to trust? Do you have growing relationships, rich relationships? Do you have respect at work? Do you have respect from your colleagues? Do you have people who want to be more than just a colleague with you in a friendship kind of way because they respect you and they like you as a person? Because you will always know the worst there is to know about a person when you're in business with them. Why? Because everything gets challenged there. All the boundaries get challenged. And that's where you see where people hold their integrity or they stretch it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you see it. So a lot of friends who go into business, they better be ready for that because they're going to see it. So I always say to people, that's great. You're going into business with your friend. Fantastic. Be ready to be disappointed or impressed. That's it. These are your choices. You will be impressed or you will be disappointed. There's no complacency in business. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, because you have to stretch. And either you go, okay, I'll stretch till here, but this is my boundary and I'm not crossing it. Or you'll go, well, I'm going to just tiptoe over here because it's a little bit, okay, no one's really going to know, no one will see, etc. Now, that's where people who are forensically minded fall down. But no one will know if I keep quiet. No one will know how right I am in the world if I don't point out where they're lacking, where the world's lacking, where the system lacks, where this building lacks, where this carpet lacks, where this dining room table setting lacks. They won't know how right I am and how clever I am. I must say it. I must say it. I must point it out. You don't look as good as you should. You look better last week. What are you wearing? Did you do your hair this morning? Etc., etc. Now, some very lucky lady one day is going to have to take me for lunch and thank me profusely for the things I've taught my son, which for the most part he completely has imbibed and lives. When he was very, very little, I started teaching him, because it starts little. Very little I taught him. You never talk to a woman about her hair, what's going on her face,
well done,
and her body weight. Never. You don't talk about that. Don't talk about what's going on in her
face.
Did you
teach him how to skirt the issue, though? Because if she asks the question, you can't just sit there silently.
Of course. And if she asks you, how does she look, your response with a full smiling heart is, you look beautiful, my dear. There you go.
That, and there's good
and
advice
then run,
for free.
Yeah, exactly. There is great advice for free. And how many people, when they're asked, do I look fat in these jeans? You know, here's your answer. People who are asked that, your answer is, do you feel fat in these jeans? If you really have to answer, do you feel it?
Good way. Good deflecting.
Jeans are jeans.
Good deflection.
Jeans are jeans. If you're squeezing yourself as a 36 into a 34 size jeans, it's not going to look fitted. If you're a size 44 and you put yourself into a size 44 jean, you're probably going to look okay. But you need to decide what you feel before you ask an opinion. Because what if that person says, oh, yeah, you look fantastic. And you look in the mirror and go, all right, so this person lies. So now what does that do for the relationship? Living with self-esteem means I look in the mirror, I know what's looking back. I don't have body dysmorphia. I don't look in the mirror and get confused about what's there or see something different. I don't have some kind of bizarre mentality that stretches or shrinks my body. I see a reflection, it either looks good or it doesn't. Some days I look in the mirror and I think, well, that looks pretty good. Okay, here we go. Some day I look in the mirror and I go, oh, smoke and mirror is going to carry me through today because I'm just beyond finished. Right? And so we all have to have a realism relationship with ourselves. You want someone's opinion? You better have a full bowl before you ask someone's opinion. You better know the answer for yourself, so that if you say, what do you think? And you already feel like you look good and they go, I don't like it. You can say, okay, well, I do, and off I go. But if you're going to live dependent on the scrutiny of others and under the thumb of the scrutiny of others, it is very hard to live a full life. I can tell you, we could have put to a panel of 20 or 100 parents what just happened this week with my son and I. We could put to a panel of 20 or 100 boys his age of what he just did. And we will get varied opinions. And a huge percent of them will be, don't do it. Don't do it. That's terrible. That's scary. Something will happen. It'll go wrong. This, that, the other. How will you survive? Don't let him go, etc. We will get those opinions. If I relied on the opinions or scrutiny of others, he wouldn't have his Kilimanjaro. If I let my insecurities, fears, or need to be close to him and enjoyment, it's not really as much a need as it's an enjoyment. I love being my son's mother. I love being in his space. I love being the person he turns to and says, this and that, and can we this and can we? I love having that connected time with him. I signed up to be his mother. I didn't sign up to have a break. I didn't. Is it healthy for parents and children to take breaks from each other? Yes, it is. It's very important that they realize their love survives separation. Very important that they realize that. That kind of, I can't let go of my children thing, good luck with that, because you'll end up having children in their 60s and living with you. That's what you'll have. And so you didn't let go of them. Well done. But they don't have a life either. That's fulfilling. So there's very interesting lines here. And I always say that children will develop their strength of character only independent of the insecurities of their parents. If a parent can get their needs and insecurities out the way, their child can reach their full potential. But far too many times, and this is definitely something that could have happened with this gentleman of the 19th of June, 1962. Far too many times we have somebody telling us how we're supposed to be, somebody telling us what we're supposed to be, which direction to take. And I can see in his parenting, it was not simple. And there was not a free-flowing openness of emotion, but there was a lot of direction. And it is hard to find the way to go forward. And that will play through into his adulthood, where he will now be giving others direction the whole time. Mm. But are you full? Are you living your life in a full way? Do you communicate in a gentle way? Do you communicate in a way that bolsters your relationship and grows them? That goes for everybody.
Great, thank you. So that was Mail, 19 June 1962. Before we have a break, look at a man, the 27th of the 6th, 1967. 27th of the 6th, 1967. Should we take a quick break and then we'll attend to that.
You're listening to 101.9 Tri FM.
It is a fabulous Friday, 5 minutes past 10 o'clock. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malun in the studio. Okay, Bev, so we're looking at a date, a man, the 27th of the 6th, 1967.
Right, so this gentleman just wants the world to flow. He just wants everything to be nice and flow and go along the way and not cause anyone pain, particularly not him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't like to be unaffirmed.
Mm-hmm.
So I like affirmation. I've told you before, fluff out my tail feathers, go ahead. You know, I love it. I love it. But do I live by it? If I'm feeling terrible, just like you or Mr. T or anybody who's listening, if you're feeling terrible and you're feeling low and depressed, does it really just change everything when someone says, you look fantastic and you're so special and I love you and your friend, you know, you're great at this and I just want to be with you and come, let's go play this or let's go connect over there, let's go for coffee. Oh, do you suddenly feel perfect? No, because we cannot live dependent on other people's approval or scrutiny. So why do people give so much power to people's scrutiny? Why?
Mm.
You won't live on their approval.
Mm.
So why do you give so much power to their scrutiny?
Don't know.
Well, it's much easier to stay low than lift yourself up. It's heavy. Lifting yourself up when you feel low takes mental work. You have to learn skills. And that's what I love about teaching self-esteem and doing workshops and talks. And because self-esteem is a skill, self-esteem. It's a skill. It's not an accidental.
And something that any person can hone.
Yes.
Any person
who wants to live a life with more self-esteem can have it. If you're willing to do the work. That's what I always say to my son.
Mm.
Do the work, have the prize. That's it. And you know what I love most about him? I hear him. I hear him saying that to his friends. I hear him living it. I see the potential for him to reach his potential happening before me. And he doesn't have me sitting there going, do you know that a Jewish fetus is not really viable until it graduates from medical school? He doesn't have me saying that. He doesn't have the insecurity of a mother saying you have to be an accountant or a dentist or you have to. You'd have to. I won't survive it with all my friends. What will I say?
Mm.
He doesn't have that.
Mm.
What he has is a mother who says, who are you? Let's get to know you. Let me help you get to know you. Let's help you find your passion. How can I help you chase that passion? How? How can we channel it in a way that's serving and healthy of you? How? How can we do that? You want a life in that passion? How can I support that?
Mm.
Because it doesn't matter to me what he becomes, provided, and I've said this only a zillion times, all of you, it doesn't matter what you become in life, provided you do no harm intentionally, you break no laws willingly, and you live independent of the scrutiny of others, you can live reaching your full potential.
Hone your skill.
Yes.
So this
bring
man,
good. So I'm saying the same to him.
Uh-huh.
Bring good. If you're bringing good to the world because you love things to be pretty and you want things to flow and you're sensitive, I understand that, you're sensitive. If you're doing those things, why do you need someone else to tell you you're doing the right thing?
So are you
you're
saying
not breaking
that this
the
person
law?
Needs affirmation
he
from
He needs
others.
A huge amount of affirmation.
Okay.
He thrives on affirmation. He's deeply sensitive, but he does not let people know that. But he's affectionate and generous and he loves things to be beautiful and look good and he's so creative and there's so much much that's strong about him, but he will use his wit, his mouth, and his mind to defend his sensitivities instead of standing up for his sensitivities. And that's what we need. We need a champion for our sensitivities. We need to be the champion for our sensitivities. Do you want your mommy to come rushing in, or your daddy, or your aunt or uncle or grandparent? Do you want them to come rushing in and say, hey, that was nasty, that made him sad? That's disempowering. Mm-hmm. It's not empowering when someone else has to defend you. When people need bodyguards, they don't do that because they feel strong enough. They do it because they do not feel strong enough, and they need someone else to bring up that strength quotient so they feel safe to be in the world. Mm-hmm. True or false?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's true. So if you need someone else to defend your sensitivities, well, good luck thriving in the world. You have to be the champion for your sensitivities. And newsflash. Sasan. Mm-hmm. Newsflash. You're allowed to be sensitive. You do not have to justify it. People all the time are justifying being sensitive. I'm sorry, I'm a bit sensitive. I'm sorry, he's sensitive. What? Nonsense. What are we apologizing for?
Mm.
If a knife goes through your arm, is it going to cut through your flesh if it's sharp enough? Sure it is. Well, you have to apologize for being fallible. No, we are human. We are here having a human experience. And the reason we're here is to grow. And the reason we're here is to liberate ourselves from the things that hold us back, from our poor behaviors, from the thoughts we have that are limiting. Our reason for being here is to grow ourselves and to refine ourselves and lift ourselves up so that we have less to work on later, so that our relationships improve, so that our engagement with the world and with our Creator improves, and we feel better for it. Why? Because when I feel better, I can affect the world in a more positive way. I can share stories with people that can get moved by it. I am not the reason people change. You are not the reason people change. What we say, like we said before, flashes like a neon sign. And some people go, gee, that's interesting, like a bumper sticker, and then carry on driving. And some people go, wow, that is interesting. I wonder if that reflects on me. And how can I work with that? And maybe if I change this, I'm going to try work on this. They're doing the work. We are the messengers. People who do the work are the workers. They own their change. They own the way they've become. They own their growth. It's yours.
Mm.
We're just putting out a message that says perhaps you can use this as a tool. Perhaps this will get you thinking. Perhaps this will help you liberate your sensitivities, your disappointments, get you talking, and realize that you will not die if you share how you've been hurt by someone. You will survive it. Will the relationship survive? Not always. But if it doesn't survive your authenticity and your sensitivity, it's not good for you. Should I say that again?
Mm-hmm.
If a relationship cannot survive your honesty and sensitivities, hurts or disappointments, then it is not a relationship that is good for you. If you have to hide who you are to be in a relationship with someone, in a partnership, marriage, friendship, any kind of engagement, if you have to hide who you are to make it work, you have to be very careful and very boundaried about what kind of relationship that is and how it serves you.
Mm. Sure.
Very careful.
Thank you, Ms. Milun. It's been wonderful having you on Chai FM. So your son is back when?
He's back after Sukkot.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, have a good jauntive.
Thank you.
We'll
you
chat
too.
Again next Friday. Thank you as always.
Thank you.
And for all of those SMSs, we thank you for sending through the SMSs. Keep sending them. Bev will get to your birth date. Just send them through as early as possible on a Friday morning.